Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's an open forum today. You just heard it. Rob Portman's doing ribbon cuttings with Mitt Romney. What does it mean? What does it bode for the vice presidential slot? What do you think about having Rob Portman run as vice president with Mitt Romney on the GOP ticket? Give us a call and tell us what you think. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. It's pretty much a done deal. The administration at OSU is going to recommend to the Board of Trustees that they adopt the $483 million deal to lease OSU's parking operations to an Australian company. It's QIC Global Infrastructure and its partner, LAZ Parking. It's an American partner. The deal will last 50 years. Should the board approve it? What do you think? 614-292-8513. It's also convenient to post your comment or question on at the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, and you can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. What else is on tap? The politics. I mean, Mitt Romney did shoot past the president in fundraising last month by several million dollars. Do you think that matters at this point? Have you been paying attention? Love to hear your thoughts. 614-292-8513. The Coalition to Ban Dog Auctions in Ohio is short on money and time, and they decided not to pursue the second round of signatures necessary to put their law on the ballot. How do you feel about that? Ohio is well known for its lax laws on puppy mills and dog auctions. Do you have a problem with that? 614-292-8513 is the number to call. It's an open forum today. We'd love to hear from you, to hear what you think about what's in the news. Tom in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Oh, thanks. I just wanted to call and give you my support for the parking garage deal at Ohio State. I think it's a really good idea. Nobody's really mentioned this, but I think parking garages, as far as real estate value, are going to peak in the next 5 years. So I think this is the time to get as much on a lease deal as you can get. And then if you look down the road 50 years, that real estate's going to be worth a lot more in some other use in 50 years. And those garages, that's about the lifespan of a garage if it's well-maintained. So we'll be doing different things with vehicles or whatever we are driving in 50 years.
I want jetpacks, but go ahead, Tom.
Well, you know that's not going to happen. But anyways, no, really. So, and plus, the people that are doing the lease from Australia, they're in the parking garage business, so, of course, they don't think it's peaked out because that's their life. And they think they're going to be in business for the rest of, you know, the century. Right. So we're handing it off to them. Let them worry about that problem. Meanwhile, we got that money up front because we're in the business of education. And any professor that worries more about where he's going to park his car and how much he's going to pay instead of how much he's going to educate the kids, well, he needs to go somewhere else anyway. And I'll hang up.
Okay, Tom, thanks for your call. Just to clarify, the Australian firm QIC Global Infrastructure is actually an investment firm, and it's going to partner with LAZ Parking from the United States. But thanks a lot, Tom.
Yeah,
take
thanks.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What do you think about the parking deal at OSU? Is it a non-issue, or do you think it's something worth talking about? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Once again, Rob Portman. His name has popped up again. He was at a ribbon cutting with Mitt Romney. He has neither confirmed nor denied the supposition that he would be the running mate for Mitt Romney on the Republican ticket in November, as he challenges incumbent Democrat Barack Obama. What do you think about that? David in Clintonville, you're on the air.
Hi, and I actually think Portman would be a good choice. I think he's a good man. I'm a Democrat, but I think he's a good guy.
Okay.
But I'm more concerned about another thing. John Glenn mentioned in a speech a while back, he has that Institute for Public Policy on OSU, and he mentioned that because of the intense media attention to candidates, even people who have not even become candidates, start thinking about it. And I think one of the Washington insiders called it the white heat. When you get to Washington, welcome to the white heat, said the one newly elected representative. But I think all that attention and all that pressure, I think, might be squeezing out people that really might be a good candidate. I have a personal friend who is a perfect candidate. He's an officer, worked in the White House, and African-American, older guy. Impeccable character. I said, listen, I will support you. You run for some local office, you're perfect. He said, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. So I think we're squeezing out the good people because of this celebrity-like attention that we put on these people. And
what do you think?
The problem.
How do we resolve this?
Well, I think one approach might be, you know, in France, the personal life of the candidates is not such a big deal. They obviously assume that that is not germane to their governing talents and abilities, which I think is true. And I think one thing, you know, 30, 40 years ago, the press wouldn't touch personal events. You know, the press didn't get into Roosevelt's possible affair with this woman. And we kept our hands off that thing. And I think that might be an interesting try. I don't know if one station took the high ground, whether everyone else would, you know, reap the benefit because nobody would listen to them anymore. I don't know if that would happen or not, but I think it might be worth it, at least a try. Take the high ground, we're not going to touch the personal stuff.
What about the examples of apparent or possible hypocrisies? For instance, a lawmaker, a politician who is overtly and adamantly and in every way opposed to, say, something like gay marriage or gay rights or anything like that, being found to be gay.
Yeah, well,
in the secret life. Is that news? I mean, it's prurient, but
that is because what he's done is he's made his personal, he's injected that particular moral stance into his political life. And so I think that does then qualify as legitimate media. As you pointed out, he would be lying at that point and duplicitous or whatever you want to call it. And but I think since he has introduced that, then I think it's fair game. I think it's a different deal when, you know, he says, look, I don't have any moral position on this. You know,
yeah.
If you want to have an essay, I don't care. My business is to govern.
Something, and I can't really compare it because I'm not that in tune with other countries and their election processes, but an American, you know, particularly nationally, but in lower-level races as well, really like to parade around their spouses, particularly the males like to parade on their female spouses. It's not so much the case the other way around. And when you make such a parade out of your family and holding that up for that kind of scrutiny, doesn't it follow that then if there's some kind of maybe marital infidelities or something like that, there's another level of hypocrisy there as well?
Yes, I would agree with that, too. I think we emphasize that far too much. Scandinavian countries particularly have no interest in that. They're only interested in the person. They also, by the way, have a pretty high percentage of what we might call regular people, you know, clerks and school teachers and that sort of thing, farmers, in office. We seem to only have lawyers and professional CEOs, doctors, you know, but we don't seem to have any electricians or plumbers or anything like that. You know, every time a politician runs, he always puts on a plaid shirt and jeans, you know, and goes out and shakes hands with all these guys, but they're basically completely removed from that world.
They're just trying to look like it.
Exactly.
Well, David, thank you so much for your call.
Sure.
Take care. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us as well at allsides@wosu.org. There are no calls or emails waiting right now, so I'm all yours. And I could go on and babble on for the entire hour, if that's your preference. and gladly will, but I'd rather hear from you. 614-292-8513. What do you want to talk about in the news? It's, we're heading into kind of a slow news cycle, I suppose, except for that national election cycle that we're in. It's the summer. I think lawmakers, state lawmakers, will be back in a few weeks to take care of a few issues, but otherwise, most of them are gone. In the summer, everybody takes a little bit of a break, good or bad. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Two Ohio State football players have been suspended for urinating on a daycare building, or allegedly urinating on a daycare building and running from police. And as we all know, Ohio State has bigger issues with their program, but fans hope that that would end under the reign of Urban Meyer. Will the program change? Is this a sign of continuing misconduct? Or is Urban Meyer's reaction to this immediate suspension maybe going to change that? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. Was it a little overkill? Did he overreact? They haven't been, you know, they haven't been convicted of anything yet. What do you think? 614-292-8513. Or are you sick to death of talking about Ohio State football? You can also call us and tell us that as well. Ohio State's going to the semester system. It's supposed to be a positive. It's supposed to put the university, its students and so forth, on an even keel or on even footing with other universities. Right now, Ohio State gets out about, well, not anymore, but in as a quarter system, was getting out later than other schools, and therefore the students were not able to start internships and summer work programs until later. And that causes a lot of competition problems. If you really need your interns and they're part of your workforce, who are you going to go with? The one who's going to come a month later or the one who's going to arrive in May? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. It is an open forum this hour. Want to hear from you. The Coalition to Ban Dog Auctions in Ohio is not going to shoot for a ballot issue to address Ohio's known lax laws on puppy mills and dog auctions. Is this good or bad? 614-292-8513. You know, ballot issues. Some people are just tired of the whole ballot issue process becoming more and more popular. Others think that it's fantastic. It's been a great way to tap into direct democracy. Do you agree, disagree? Give us a call. We're going to be right back with your calls. We've got a few on tap now, and we'll be right back and get to those in just a minute. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Start your day with local updates from the award-winning WOSU News team.
The appearance of the ads shows Central Ohio is changing from a heavily regulated electricity market to a more competitive one.
First Energy Solutions and other suppliers want an unfair advantage.
AEP's scheme will hurt our economy.
Thanks to the new law, AEP must sell some of its electricity to other power companies.
Hear the latest in local and national news on Morning Edition on 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station.
75 degrees with some rain in and around Columbus. Showers are likely today. A pop-up thunderstorm is also possible, and a high of 78. Expect showers tonight and a thunderstorm as well, a low of 67 degrees. Still a chance of showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday. Cloudy skies and a high of 83. Partly cloudy Tuesday night with a low of 56. And the rain should leave us by Wednesday. Sunshine, a high of 78. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
It's an open forum this hour. What do you want to talk about in the news? 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We've been talking about the OSU parking deal. We've been talking about the personal lives of politicians. Should they or should they not be fodder during campaigns? You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And don't forget about the Facebook page. That's an easy way to communicate very quickly. Kujenga in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You wanted to talk about the OSU parking deal.
you know, basically, I'm a graduate of Ohio State University, 1976 undergrad, and 1980 I got my master's degree. The parking garage issue to me is really a non-issue. What they do with the parking is really neither here nor there. I think more issues deal with recruitment of minority people to the campus area. You have issues with all kinds of things that deal with race and poverty that the university should be dealing with. And for many years, we've tried to get a lot of community residents from Columbus who are in the inner city to go to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Been unable to get more than 5% at any time, and out of 60,000 students, that's a very small percentage. So basically, I don't think the parking garage is a big issue. I think time would be better spent if Ohio State tried to get more inner city students from Dayton, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati into Ohio State instead of sending them to places like Wilberforce and Central State, that kind of thing.
I was surprised. I wrote a column once about a program at the Columbus Public Schools put on to get sixth graders interested in Ohio State, and they'd bring them to a baseball game if they got good grades and had good attendance records. They got to go to a baseball game at Ohio State in the spring, and they continue to do that. And what was surprising to me was how few of those kids had ever even been on the Ohio State campus.
That's right. Yeah, I've taken a number of so-called minority students, black, African-American, Asiatic, whatever you want to call minority students. I've taken them up to Ohio State many times. You know, I graduated back in the day, Archie Griffin, and I graduated at the same time, spring quarter of 1976. And, it's just an ongoing kind of a thing. I saw President Gordon Gee the other day at the Kroger store and spoke to him about it. My president was innocent back in the day. But it's just an ongoing problem. You know, they're talking about parking and these kind of things. I mean, that's not even an issue to me. They're going to do the business kind of things that they're going to do to make money. But what about being more inclusive? That's my concern with Ohio State University. I'm a minister, and I'm out here working to try and get more minority students involved with Ohio State University. And I've got some plans in the future to deal with Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, that's my comment. I'm Minister Kujenga Elia Ashe, and I hope to talk with you in the future. You have a great program, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Anita in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the open forum today.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a little rebuttal for the gentleman who said the personal life of a politician should have no play.
Okay.
I think it's hugely important. And one example would be if you are somebody who many of us are who live paycheck to paycheck and money is tight, and let's say you inherit $1 million, would you trust that money that's so dear to your family to an accountant who he himself has been bankrupt? I don't think you would do that. I think you would look for the most successful person in his business and his own affairs. And I don't know what's more precious to Americans as far as our mortal existence than our nation. And why would we trust it to somebody who they themselves show signs of moral turpitude? I don't think so. I think we'd want somebody who lives the values that we want to exhibit in all aspects of their life. And I can't think of any country, you know, the United States of America, the greatest country on earth, I can't think of any aspect that we would want to emulate France, of all places.
Do you think that we get too distracted by it?
I do think it gets sensational. I think people like the titillation of hearing about affairs and such, and that's sad, and that's a black eye on society itself. But I do think the voters have every right to be aware of how these people conduct their life. And if you even want to get biblical on it,
mm-hmm.
We are told that, you know, you don't choose people in your church who don't control their own house. You know, men mm-hmm. that don't have their own home in order. So I think he's totally misguided or I couldn't disagree with that caller more.
What about things like whether you smoked pot in college back in 1985?
Oh, diddly squat, no.
You don't care. I mean, that's the kind of, there's that kind of stuff, too. Did he inhale, you know, the infamous did he inhale with Bill Clinton?
No, but when they have another family on the side or they themselves have burned the American flag when they were in Europe or things like that, I want to know that. That tells me a lot about their character. But no, I don't care if they had. I mean, I didn't do it in college, but that's, no.
Okay.
All right. They were a kid then, you know.
So. Experimental and all that sort of thing.
Thank you for speaking with me.
Well, Anita, thanks for calling. Have a good
day.
Bye-bye. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsigns@wosu.org. It is an open forum this hour, and we welcome your thoughts today. We've been talking about education. The cost to fund education, maybe it helps to lease the parking garages and the parking system at Ohio State University to help pay for that. Some people disagree. Some people think it's no big deal. What do you think? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. Kenny in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Kenny.
Yeah, thank you. You had a show where you had educators on talking about the cost of education.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned China and Japan, and what's interesting about China and Japan is their premise was they subsidize certain students, other students they don't. They let them go to the somewhere else, and I would disagree with that 100%. What they do is the gifted students go on to college, become engineers or whatever. The other students go to vocational schools and get a trade. And that is not throwing people to the wolves. That is a matter of common sense. I know colleges want people to go to college and emphasize college, but they may have a better system than we do.
Well, I was wondering, how do they determine giftedness, and should giftedness
be the same way we do?
Okay, should that be, though, you're saying that only gifted students should be able to go to college?
Well, what I'm saying is that when you in certain fields like in math, engineering, medical research, I would say those students should be subsidized. Those are students should be not necessarily go to college, but be subsidized. And then I don't care what economic level you are, you should be able to college without having high debt. And you should be subsidized by the state. This is what they do.
Okay.
They subsidize the students that are what they consider gifted.
Okay.
Now, the others can go to college, but in practical terms, they need a trade. They need, so I think their system, England has the same system. Europe has the same system.
Mm-hmm.
And, we try to get everyone going to college, which is wonderful, and have high debt. But I wonder what the benefit is to the country. And another thing is we talk about democracy. And I think in these vocational schools, they should talk about democracy, of course, on democracy as well. People have, should understand democracy. But when you go to college, I've noticed a lot of college graduates who are idiots when it comes to political. They're very selfish, and they seem to be have any more political awareness of those that don't go to college. And, everyone votes for economic interest, and the college has nothing to do with that as far as political outlook is concerned. They're uncompromising, a lot of them, politically. So I really wonder what the benefit is. Again, I believe if kids go to vocational schools, they should have a course on democracy, understand democracy, what their right is. But that can be taught in vocational schools.
Okay.
And that's why I feel about it. Another thing is, when college are trying to promote colleges.
What did you just say, Kenny? I didn't catch
it. The colleges are promoting colleges.
Oh, yeah.
And wanting everyone to go.
Mm-hmm.
And what the debt level is doesn't seem to matter to these kids when they graduate.
You don't think it matters to them? Or does it matter to the colleges?
I don't think it matters to the university.
Yeah, okay.
And it matters to the people that graduate, but not to the university.
Mm-hmm.
And the other point I'd like to make is, you know, we seem to blame teachers on everything today. You know, there was an article in the state of New York about the idea was to get smaller schools. That would improve test scores if they had smaller schools. And that's what they did in the state of, that's what New York City has done. But the test scores haven't improved any. And now they're hitting on teachers. Well, there's more to it than just teachers. You know, it's a lot of it has to do with economics and how the parents are involved with these kids and their education. And so there's it's a complicated issue, but they're trying to simplify it, the federal government. And so that's what I have to say, and I appreciate you letting me get this off my mind.
Okay, Kenny. Well, I appreciate you calling.
Thank you.
Take care. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We have an open forum this hour. What do you want to talk about? Kenny was just talking about college and who should go, or at least who should be subsidized to go to college, who should get the help they need financially or not, who deserves that kind of help. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you'd like to weigh in on that issue. We welcome it. We've also been talking about leasing the parking structures or leasing the parking operations at Ohio State University to raise money in the short term. And in the long term, Ohio State retains ownership of the property. And I thought that one of the callers made a good, pretty good point that in 50 years, the property is going to be worth a lot more when it goes back to returns to Ohio State. What do you think? 614-292-8513. Dan in North Campus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm actually calling about a petition effort that's going around right now. I realize you just mentioned a little earlier ago, you know, folks might be getting a little weary with the petition process that's been going on lately, but this one is about the nonpartisan redistricting effort that's going on in our state. We desperately need to change our redistricting process in Ohio. If you're fed up with about money in politics, if you're fed up about you know, corrupt politicians, if you're sick of just reelecting the same members of Congress over and over and over again because the districts are so bad, this petition that we're passing around now to establish an independent citizens commission to draw the lines, you want to sign that petition so we can get this issue on the ballot this fall and undo the horrible map that was just done by the governor that basically disenfranchises and gerrymanders people into a politically bad situation.
Usually it's controlled by whatever party controls the elective offices, the auditor, the, of course, Secretary of State, the governor.
The governor, the lieutenant governor, yeah.
And then one each from the House and Senate.
Right. And that is true. That's how the apportionment works. But I'm pretty sure that the lines are drawn by the House of Representatives.
Yes,
the state
right.
House of Representatives.
So it starts with apportionment. Every 10 years, there's a reapportionment,
right.
And then the lines are redrawn to adjust to that.
Well, every 10 years for the past 30, maybe 40, some people could go back even further and look at the maps. They've gotten worse and worse and worse. Western Columbus, the congressional district, Steve Stivers now also represents Athens, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
That is so far away. That is so politically obvious that they're trying to split people up and into groups based on what will allow him to get reelected. The stuff they did in Northeast Ohio. If you look at the map on the eastern part of the state, there's one long congressional district that goes the entire border, almost the entire border of the eastern part of the state. Those places need their own representation. It's just that clear. If we can fix the maps and we can fix the money in politics, things will get better. But until we do that, they're not going to get any better.
Well, I call the one up in the Northeast that goes along the border of Lake Erie. It's kind of it's like the beach district.
Yeah.
And actually, in many ways, they have a lot more in common than, say, somebody who lives in Athens does with somebody who lives in Columbus.
Well, what about the fact that one of those districts up there is only geographically congruent because it's connected by a bridge?
Mm-hmm. No, I know. I get your point, but yeah.
You can't split people up. You can't split the district up and not have them geographically touching each other.
Well,
I mean,
Dan,
that's the state law.
But, you know, people just don't seem interested in this. They don't seem up in arms. There's never the pressure on the legislature to change how it works. I know that Secretary of State John Husted tried when he was Speaker of the House, I believe. He's tried, but if there's not pressure to do it, the legislature's not interested in doing it, and otherwise people don't seem that interested in it.
Well, I've been passing around the petition and going out there and talking to folks, not just in Columbus, uh-huh. but also I've been out to Newark, Lancaster, some of the surrounding areas, and gotten a wide range of political opinions. And right, left, and center, when you can quickly tell someone that you're trying to talk to about it, look, this is a problem, and they'll listen to you, people agree. People know, they kind of know what gerrymandering is. Mm-hmm. It's not quite clear. A lot of times they may want more information. But usually, if you just tell them, haven't you been reelecting the same member of Congress over and over again? Like, for example, people who live in Pat Seabury's district have elected mm-hmm. him a couple different times. They get that. And they get that it's drawn for political purposes. And, you know, some other states are actually doing it this way in an mm-hmm. independent way. And it's working better for some other states. But I think that once people understand the issue, once they understand that, you know, a real choice between politicians will help them be accountable instead of no consequences for their actions, because they don't really have to worry about convincing too many voters in their districts to stay with them, things will get better then.
Okay. All right, Dan. Well, we'll see what other people think.
Thank you.
Take care. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It's an open forum this hour. I wanted to read from Paul on Facebook. He wrote, "The longer I pay attention, the more politics just becomes a depressing blur to me. The more I know, the less I want to know. But you, Ms. Fisher, know much more than I do about politics and politicians and don't seem as discouraged as me or discouraged at all. How do you do it?" I don't know, Paul. I guess it's just what I'm made of. It's just the bolt that I was cut from. But I grew up in politics. I grew up in a very political family, and it's always been part of who I am and what I talk about. And I covered politics for almost 10 years at the state level. So I don't know. It's what I do. Maybe it's like a sports reporter in a way. You know, it's what they do. Thanks for the Facebook comment, Paul. And when we return, we'll continue our open forum on All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear conversations with legendary personalities like comedian Joan Rivers.
My first joke was my husband killed himself and left a message that I have to visit him every day, so I had him cremated and sprinkled him in Neiman Marcus. Now, haven't missed a day.
Icons of the entertainment world on Fresh Air.
And Fresh Air begins later today at noon. On today's Fresh Air, comedian Joan Rivers joins the show. She just turned 79 and has a new book called I Hate Everyone, Starting With Me. Join us for Joan Rivers on Fresh Air today at noon on 89.7 NPR News. And stay right here for hour two of All Sides, beginning in 20 minutes. The most popular pet in the United States is the cat. Understanding cat behavior and health is on All Sides from 11 till noon, right here on 89.7 NPR News. 75 degrees with some light rain in parts of downtown Columbus. Expect showers off and on throughout the day today, with possibilities of a thunderstorm popping up today, a high of 78. Showers are likely tonight, maybe a thunderstorm as well, a low of 67 degrees. A chance of showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday, cloudy skies and a high of 83. Partly cloudy Tuesday night, a low of 56. And All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We have an open forum this hour. What do you want to talk about in the news? We've been talking about the parking operations at Ohio State University campus and the idea to lease them. We've been talking about politics. We've been talking about redistricting and the process of redistricting in the state of Ohio. We've been talking about the personal lives of politicians. Are they or are they not fair game? Right now I'm going to turn to Eileen. So if you'd like to think about what you want to talk about, you can give us a call at 614-292-8513. Hi, Eileen in Westerville. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. I was just calling about the caller previously who was talking about government subsidizing certain college students, math and engineering specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't disagree with him more. I just think government can't get into the business of subsidizing certain majors. I think it creates a educational class system. I think you leave out a lot of gifted students in other areas, education, arts, medical, business, whatever. And I don't think you can I think we do need to find a way to make higher education more affordable, but you can't get into a system where you're just subsidizing certain people. I think it's dangerous.
Okay. Well, Eileen, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Take care. Douglas in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Douglas.
Hey, Ann. Thank you. I just had a real quick question. Friday night, I saw on, I think it was on the McLaughlin Group, where that the during that recall election up in Wisconsin for the governor, the state legislature, in particular the Senate, they lost their majority. The Republicans lost their majority. Is that true?
After the
recall election last Tuesday, is that true?
I think they already had lost it, but I don't think it was because of that. I don't know. To tell you the truth, I don't know.
Okay. Well, the reason why I ask is because, well, if it is true, nobody, I think it's a shame that nobody mentioned it, and I had to see it at 10:30 at night on a show that hardly anyone watches, I think, except me.
Okay. Let's check, though. Maybe someone out there can check for us whether they – you're talking about the Republicans in the Senate in Wisconsin.
Right.
Right. Maybe I'm wrong, but my recollection is they lost that in the last election cycle.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, I trust you because
– well, you know, you never know. I got a lot of stuff swimming around in my brain, but that's my recollection. And so it might have been just in passing that they mentioned that. In that conversation you heard. So we'll have someone check on that, and we'll let you know.
Okay, and then one last thing before
mm-hmm.
I let you go.
Yeah.
All right, Friday during the president's news conference, he made the comment that the private sector was doing fine, and I just want to know that...
Yeah, I think he's regretting that right now,
well,
Douglas.
Okay, can we say that the private sector is doing fine compared to the public sector? Is that too far off?
I don't know, but I think it probably depends on what sector of the private sector you're talking about. But I don't know. That's do you think we should be able to say that? And you think that's the way it is more accurate?
Well, I think that the private sector is doing well relatively well compared to the public sector. And more to the point, I think that the private sector, this is how I interpreted it.
Okay.
When he said that the private sector was doing fine, 3 years ago, everybody was worried about the private sector falling off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody in their right mind is worried about that now.
I mean, in other words, they're in recovery.
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't think anybody is worried about, oh my goodness, what's going to happen tomorrow as far as the private sector?
Are the banks going to fail? That kind of a thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
When banks were failing, you know, at a pretty nice clip,
mm-hmm.
you know, I understand that banks are still failing, but the rate of failure has slowed dramatically. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So it just seems to me that the people that we trust, you know, for us to get our news, our information, it seems to me that they take something and they just run with it when it seems common sense isn't so common, but it just seems to me that, come on, guys, really?
You mean you're saying, why don't we take a second and really analyze the statement that was made and not just...
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean,
I would agree that we should be doing that.
And, I mean, I don't know. I'm somewhat intelligent, but it just seems to me that, okay, if the president says, well, you know, the private sector is fine, well, compared to where it was once upon a time, not too long ago, well, you know, I think that's a reasonable statement to make. And I also remember, you know, and understand, I'm a Republican, but I guess the thing that I find frustrating is that we get so caught up in minutia that we don't really see the bigger picture. And sometimes I wonder, is that on purpose?
Well, and purpose, that's an interesting way to ask it. Or is it because we don't have the resources and the time and the energy to do anything else?
Well, that's their job, isn't it?
24/7 news cycle now. When I got started, you know, in the olden days, things were a lot different. And the resources aren't there that were there before. And I'm not making excuses. Heavens to Betsy, I'm not making excuses. But there are, you know, explanations for some of it. Well, and it doesn't mean it's right. It just, newspapers, there aren't as many. When I started at the State House, I won't, for many years ago, that was 20 years ago, there were, just in the Akron-Beacon Journal Bureau, I think 5 or 6 reporters. Now there's one. At the, you know, the Plain Dealer, same thing. The Columbus, or the Toledo Blade doubled it from 1 to 2. It was that way all across the board. It was a huge group of Ohio legislative correspondents in the Ohio Legislative Correspondents Association. Now it's a handful. You have many fewer people covering just as many, if not more, issues and more complexity to them as well. How do you do that?
Well, I think the first thing you do is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you start with the basics. You know, what happened? When did it happen?
Mm-hmm.
Who did it happen to? And if you're very, very lucky, you find out why.
Right. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Let's start there and just, you know, and go forward.
Right.
But that's just me.
Yeah. No, that's good, Douglas. You're smart. You're listening to public media for starters, so you must be pretty smart. So.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
All right, have a great day.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Mike and Gahanna, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Oh, hello. I just had a quick comment on the exotic animal ban.
Okay.
The way I understand it is it's there for our safety. And I just guess to make it simple, I'm okay with the ban if we shut the zoo.
Hmm. Why?
I guess my point is what happened in Zanesville or Muskingum County was that somebody went crazy and let all the animals loose, right?
Well, we'll never know. He was suicidal, of course, and he committed suicide. And before, after, of course, letting out the animals, he had financial problems.
That's my point. Those animals didn't escape. They were let loose.
Right.
What's to stop somebody at the zoo from going crazy and letting the animals loose?
Well, I don't know if he was crazy or not, but he was obviously suicidal. And, you know, it's hard to know. I mean, the zoo can afford the animals that it's taking in. It can afford to take care of them. And there's trained specialists all over the place taking care of them.
I have no problem with that. I'm sure that there's plenty of trained people to help whatever problem comes up. But my point is, I don't think you can legislate somebody being suicidal.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I think it's about control is my point. I don't think it's so much about safety. I think it's about control. And I feel very sorry for all the people that are going to lose their business from that.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. I appreciate you speaking with me.
All right, Mike. Thanks for the call.
Uh-huh.
Take care.
You too.
Scott in Hilliard, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Good morning, and how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I'm opposed to the President Obama's increased use of drones to target suspected al-Qaeda militants. He's done over 300 since he's been in office. Lots of innocent people have been killed, but the primary, and that alone would be a reason to oppose him, but for some reason we seem real complacent about innocent people dying in this country overseas. So the real reason would be because I think it has bolstered the efforts of the al-Qaeda organization. It's made it larger and expanded it. This has been documented about al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. That organization has grown since the strikes in Yemen.
And what's the relationship between that and drones? You're saying Because of the drones?
Imagine if a foreign government was dropping bombs in and around Ohio, maybe in Indiana or Illinois, you might be antagonistic, or you'd be opposed to that government that was dropping missiles on around here, wouldn't you? Even if they didn't hit you or your family or kill anybody you knew.
What do you think about the use of drones in the United States?
I want to stick with the fact that President Obama has increased the usage of these drones in over there, and that doesn't seem to be upsetting anyone. And the program is supposedly secret, but the administration.
But there have been leaks.
Well, I don't know if they're leaks. It's those kind of Washington leaks where they're leaked when it's beneficial to the administration. Suddenly, nobody's in trouble. But if you're somebody who's opposed, someone who works in government and sees some wrongdoing, and you're a whistleblower, suddenly you're up on espionage charges. And there's six cases being brought forth by the Obama administration now against people who are whistleblowers within the NSA or the CIA who are being charged under espionage. I guess the most notorious case is the Bradley Manning case, and he was just in the services.
What about the idea that drones are an alternative to sending in live forces? It's going to make it easier for the United States to pull out, as it is in the process of doing from Afghanistan.
That makes it more politically expedient, right? There are no Americans getting killed.
Right.
But there are still foreign people getting killed. And you've heard recently about this distinction between personality strikes and signature strikes.
Mm-hmm.
And a signature strike is you don't even know who you're killing. He just looks suspicious. That seems really like a thin thread upon which to pull a trigger. And so if I had a question for you, I would say, where would you place the moral responsibility for the killing of innocents? Is it the person who pulls the trigger? Is it Obama? Is it America as a whole? And when innocent people die over there, and that's been in the news, like I said, there's been over 300 strikes. Lots of women and children who had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda have been killed.
But that happens in war no matter what.
Where does the moral responsibility for those deaths lie? What's your opinion?
Well, I don't really like to get into my opinion.
It's a tough question,
isn't it? It is a tough question, but what is your opinion?
My opinion is that it rests on America. If there are American weapons being discharged by Americans, and those deaths are our responsibility. I don't think you can really string this all the way back to 9/11 at this point. A lot of the people that are dying in these things weren't even born or were kids when 9/11 happened. And all the people that were really, truly responsible for 9/11 died on 9/11.
And so you're saying it's not just the president, but it's the whole American.
Well, I asked you, and I offered up an answer. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear yours now.
Well, I don't usually give
You just told me about 10 minutes ago when I was listening how political you are. Go ahead. Please, verse an opinion on this. I think if you dodge it, that you're dodging moral responsibility for one of the...
Well, all right, let me ask you this, Scott. If I end up doing a show on it and everybody thinks they know how I feel about the issue, how much credence do I have as a journalist?
I think you have plenty of credence. I think you can be a moderator and still with an opinion and still moderate the program.
Okay. Well, I don't when it comes to certain issues. And it's been that way for my whole career as a journalist for 30-odd years now. There's certain things, I think that you can talk about the fact that I cover politics and I've been covering them for many, many years. But as far as where I land on any one particular issue, and, that's different. I think we can talk about it. And I'm glad to talk about it, but
okay. Well,
I'm not
this?
A politician. I'm not a,
Neither am I, but that doesn't devolve your responsibility to have a position on political matters.
I'm not talking about absolving myself of responsibility. I'm talking about sharing my opinions.
Okay.
Okay.
So what is the objective? This is an opinion, but what is the objective of the Bush administration, the Obama administration, the future Romney administration on Al-Qaeda? Are we just going to keep bombing with drones until everyone, anybody that they think is an Al-Qaeda guy is dead? I mean, when does it end?
I don't know. It's a good question. When does it ever end when you start something like that? So I don't know.
And since this is the greatest nation, one of your callers said it's the greatest nation on earth, and we have... We certainly do have the greatest military with the greatest military technology. When does this great nation give up fighting a group of what, a few hundred, a few thousand people? When do they give up and say, you know, this is just, we're going about this the wrong way. We should try police tactics rather than missiles from the sky.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks for your time.
Yep, Scott, thank you for your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We do know for Wisconsin, Republicans have the majority in the state house. It is 16 Republicans and 16 Democrats in the state Senate, so it's split. We have an email from Brad. As a pseudo-public entity, it seems contrary to public policy that OSU can unilaterally contract with anyone, foreign or domestic, to sell its parking structures or management of those structures without the Ohio legislature weighing in. Email from Adam. The Ohio Department of Mental Health and Ohio Department of Alcohol and Drug Addiction Services are set to merge on July 1st, 2013. Many in the recovery community see this as a huge setback after the creation of the Ohio Department of Alcohol and Drug Addiction Services a few decades ago. We'll get into that more. That's a good topic, Adam, and I'd like to go into a little bit more detail about that. Now we just have time for one more call, and that would be Steve in Dublin. You're on the air. Welcome to the show, Steve. We're running out of time.
Oh, okay, I'll make this quick. How are you doing, Ann?
Good.
Good. You know, I just wanted to talk to you really quick. There seems to be a real environmental disconnect. And I feel like I have conversations with people every single day about just our overall impact on the earth or just our local environment. And I just wanted to, you know, really quick talk about, and I know you've had past shows about this, but mm-hmm. just the impact, but there's a lot of little things we can do at home to reduce our overall impact. Mm-hmm. Just even things like planting the rain gardens that I know you've talked about.
Right.
You know, we've done that in our yard where we got rid of the grass, we dug a little retention, we put in some mulch and some compost, and then we planted a bunch of plants that are just all indigenous to the area. So that means that, like, all the bugs and the birds and the fireflies, they all know what to do with these kind of plants. And perfect example is that when I was outside last night, I looked over above the rain garden. There's all kinds of fireflies and lightning bugs going all, you know, just lighting up all the sky right next to it. And then I look on the other side of the yard where it's just more grass and a couple trees, and you saw like one or two fireflies. And so it just showed that, like, it's amazing the little ecosystem you can create in your own little backyard.
It matters.
It does matter.
It matters when you build them a neighborhood. Steve, we have to leave it at that, though. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Take care. Thanks for listening to the Open Forum today, and thanks for everybody who participated. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.